going to continue on, really, this morning on the subject matter, which is equipped to pray. And we're looking at the whole subject of prayer. If you've missed a few weeks, you can always order back copies of what we've been covering, just to keep you up to speed. And I didn't want to really preach this one this morning, but God really impressed on my heart that we was to really focus on a particular thing this morning. So we're just going to have a brief recap, and then we'll off we go. So Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit will move afresh upon each one of us. You're going to quicken something in our hearts, Lord, today that will change us and will help us to see some important principles, Father, that will help us or hinder us in our prayer life. Yes. I pray, Lord, that you're going to change us, Lord, this morning. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of repentance and faith will flow in our lives in a new way right at the beginning of this year, Father, so that our prayers will become very, very sharp and effective. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we agree together. You know, we read the other week in Psalm 20, and if you'd like, just like to quickly turn there, Psalm 20. Tremendous promises. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose or plans. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your prayers. Prayers, that's it. Petitions or prayers. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Now, this is a great psalm about God answering our prayer. This is a great psalm. I don't know how regularly you read the psalms, but I encourage you to read the psalms regularly because they'll do you a lot of good. Because you'll discover truth there about you and about God and about some of the things that we face, and the psalms are there to help us to actually break through. Break through our self-life, break through our problems and our troubles. And again we have the psalms that tell us to call upon the name of the Lord and to cry out to him and declare who he is. And the Lord wants to answer our prayers.
Amen.
Amen. It's great to see prayers answered. I've had a couple of great answers to prayer this week. It's so encouraging to get some prayer answers. And the Lord wants to answer our prayers. Let's look at Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. And while you're turning there, just remember, the Lord wants to fulfill his purpose in your life. Amen. Amen. He wants to get you to your destination. He wants you to hit the point of what he has for you. He wants you to be walking on your journey of destiny. He doesn't want you to be stopping, going backwards, or going off track. He wants you to keep on your journey with him, because he's got a very specific plan for each one of us in this room this morning, and he wants us to reach the target. And we won't get there. The fact is, we will not get there without prayer. You won't get there without praying, and you won't get there without others praying for you either. We need the prayer of the saints. We need to be prayed for, and we need to pray for others, so that we get to where God's going as a church and as individuals. The Lord wants to fulfill your desire, the desires he's put in your heart. He wants to fulfill the plans, the purposes that he's put within you. That's part of your DNA in God. And he wants to answer all your prayers. But if you don't pray, you won't get it. If we don't pray with faith, we won't get to where we're going. And we have to up the whole thing of prayer at the moment. God is saying, get up in prayer. Meet with me. You know, when we meet in the week, when we meet for different times of prayer, the first we do is we always worship God so that we're in his presence. We come up to where he is and he comes down amongst us. And then from that point, we can then begin to pray some very important prayers. prayers of faith. We have to meet with him first. Meeting with God in his presence and then releasing the prayers of faith is how to pray. Not bringing our great long shopping list of things that we're fed up about or things that we want changed, but actually meeting with him and praising and honouring him and worshipping him is the doorway through to a great prayer life. Amen. And God wants us to be this way. And in Mark 11, we mentioned it last week, it says in verse 22, have God's faith. Actually, in the Greek, it literally means have God's faith. Have the faith of God. Have faith in God, Jesus says, or have God's faith. For certainly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his, what does it say? In his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's a very powerful scripture. That if you have an obstacle in your way, a mountain that's blocking your way, Jesus is saying, have my faith. I give you my faith so that you can pray and you can speak to that obstacle, that mountain that's standing in your way, whatever that mountain is, and you command it to be moved and cast into the sea. And Jesus says these wonderful words. He says, and do not doubt in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say, you've got to say them. They can't just be in your heart. You've got to actually release the word of God from your heart and speak those words, even if it's a command, that obstacle, sickness, financial difficulty, that relationship problem, whatever it is that's blocking your way, God says, speak to that mountain and it shall be moved. Provided that you don't doubt in your heart, that when you say, when you command and when you speak, that there's no doubts in your heart about it, but that what you say will come to pass. Now that's called authority. And God has given us authority to pray in and to pray with. And when we pray with the authority of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, things will happen. Satan runs. The devil flees out of the way when he sees men and women of God like you and me standing up and beginning to pray with the faith of God, because he cannot withstand the spirit that's in those prayers, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of faith. And I'm looking this morning at a spirit of faith-filled people here today. I'm looking at people who are anointed, that's you, every one of you. I'm looking at the people who are full of the spirit of prayer, full of the spirit of supplication, petition, strong prayer in your spirit. I'm looking at people this morning who are full of faith. Amen. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I see a church of breakthrough. I see a church breaking through into their personal destiny, but also into the destiny that God has for us as a church this morning. Because I know that God has given us his spirit of faith. And if God has given us the spirit of faith, then we can overcome. And we will have breakthrough. And we will be a church that is established in prayer in the prayer place. We will be a church that is having miracles and signs and wonders daily. Amen. How about that then?
Yes.
Not weekly, daily. We're seeing answers to prayer. People being healed, people being saved, and so on. And we're seeing a change take place in the spiritual atmosphere, but also on the earth here, where we live, in this town of Crawley and East Grinstead and other places where we're going, that we see a breakthrough beginning to take place, all because we've learned how to meet with God and pray. Amen. With faith. And you are such a people. You're such a people. God is reforming us into be his people that will go and flow with him. And it goes on to say, if you look at verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you, what does it say there? Receive them and you will have them. Now this is very interesting, because when we pray, if you don't believe that you've received the answer to prayer, then you will not have it. You'll not have your answer until you receive it in here. So when you're praying over a matter, and sometimes, let's face it, we have to get before God and come to a place where we actually get into faith. That's why we need to read the word and spend time in his presence. But as we do so, God will begin to speak to us, and then we receive faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. As we hear the word of God, as we hear God speak to us about specific things, about specific people, about specific areas in our lives, about things that we're doing as a church, when God releases that word, then we come to a place of faith. Now we're in a place of faith, we can then begin to pray, and when we pray, we begin to receive the answer to our prayer in here first. in your heart, you receive the answer first before it ever comes to pass in the natural. Does that make sense? And God is just wanting to keep reminding us this, because if these are the basic things of prayer, but if we're not walking in these basic things of prayer, then we will not have a successful prayer life. And I believe God is wanting to remind us week by week, keep walking in these things, make them a part of your life, make them a discipline in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to come so that when we pray with faith. And when we pray and we believe what we pray for. And start receiving. That's the whole point of prayer. Prayer isn't just about praying stuff out. Prayer is about praying things out of God's word and receiving the answer in your spirit. Amen. You receive the answer in here. You receive by faith. And as you begin to receive, then you begin to thank God for the answer. That you begin to see the answer coming. You see yourself healed before you get healed. That's often the case. You see your finances being up. You receive in here before they are up. You see a relationship turn around before it is turned around. You receive in here and you begin to thank God and you begin to pray over that thing and start thanking God that God is enriching this and God is providing and God is doing things. And it comes out of a rich prayer life. I love being around people who pray with faith, because what it does, it actually rubs off onto you. And God wants us to be a praying people who are praying with faith, who get prayer answers. Therefore, I say to whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. And many of us in this room can testify this morning that that's the way it works. But God wants to do a whole lot more in us as a church to see many, many prayer answers this year. Now come with me please just before we move on from here, a very, very important thing that the Lord spoke to me about last night was, let's look at verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, so there's a place where you need to stand, okay? Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, who's anyone?
Anyone.
Okay, very, very deep, wasn't it? Anyone is anyone. So whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Didn't take long, did it? Forgive him or her, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Whoa. I didn't know. Pastor, I didn't realize that you were going to talk about this morning, about forgiveness. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. It literally means forgive him immediately and drop it. Like a dog dropping a bone. Forgive him immediately. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you. I wonder in this room this morning if there's someone that you need to forgive. We won't go around the room this morning with a microphone. Maybe there's more than one person that's offended you, upset you, disturbed you, did something they shouldn't have done, said something they shouldn't have done, or maybe they just get up your nose. You need to forgive them and immediately and drop it, because the word says if you don't, then the Father in heaven cannot forgive you. Wow. That is an awesome scripture. That means that we could walk around with a grudge against somebody else for years and years, and all the time we keep asking God to forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And God's saying, but I can't. I can't forgive you if you don't forgive that person for what they did, what they said, whether they meant it or not. The problem isn't with them, the problem is with you in your heart. So you must forgive, you must drop it and forgive them. How do you do that? By praying it out, actually out loud before God. Father, I forgive so-and-so for what they said to me, for what they've done to me. Father, I forgive so-and-so this morning. They don't even realize they've done it, but they've upset me. And I'm upset this morning, right? I choose to forgive them, Father, in the name of Jesus. I forgive them with your forgiveness, the same forgiveness that you forgave me. I choose to forgive them. And the moment you do that, you release the forgiveness of God. Not just for them, but something happens in your own life that releases your spirit from bitterness. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Okay, it's getting warm in here. Let's go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Because one thing that God is wanting to do is he's wanting to sharpen us up in our spirit, in our life before him, if we're going to see a move of God like God has promised, then we've got to be a different people. We've got to be a changed people. And forgiveness is a big key, learning to forgive quickly, dropping, you know, because let's face it, there's always going to be things that are going to upset me and you. There are always going to be people that are going to say something not quite the right way that you would have liked them to have spoken to you. There's always going to be things that will happen. So the issue isn't with that. The issue is with you. The issue is with me. It's whether I'll forgive immediately. Now, that takes some grace sometimes. But I tell you, it's the way to walk, and that's the way Jesus walked. And he will enable you by the Spirit to walk in forgiveness so that what your immediate reaction is, I forgive him. You know, they don't have to hear that because they might think that you've got a problem with them. But you can just forgive a person instantly and get into walking in forgiveness. And that's called walking in freedom. When you start forgiving people and situations that have happened, you can walk into your future with great peace and joy. And Psalm 66, this is a great psalm. Let's just read it together, shall we? This will lift you up. This will strengthen you today. Psalm 66, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works through the greatness of your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living, and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Wow. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. What a great way to start the day, eh? Just declaring a psalm like this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now in verse 18, it says this. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I remember as a young lad, when I used to go to church with my parents, there was this old man of God who used to preach, and I was always scared when he came because he always came with a very heavy word. He had a bent old nose. He looked about 95, and he used to wag his finger at the front, and I thought, God, don't let him see me because of the naughty things I've just done, you know, this week. And he never exuded the joy of the Lord, but somehow what he said always carried a lot of weight with it. And I didn't feel particularly good when this man came. He just came every now and again, but it was always a heavy word. But, you know, God, funnily enough, reminded me this. When I was reading this last night, he reminded me, because the word he brought always stuck. And I remember he actually brought this word one Sunday morning, little Turners Hill Free Church in 19-whatever, 25 when I was a wee lad. And the Spirit of God was convicting me of my sin. And he just brought this word and he didn't fluff it up or anything. He just said, you know, if you have iniquity, sin in your life, then God will not hear you. And he went around it a number of different ways. And, you know, what the Lord said to me last night, he said, I want you to talk today about the hindrance to prayer, because if we regard iniquity, what is iniquity?
Sin.
What is sin? Iniquity, very good. What is sin?
Separation from God.
Sin is separation from God. It's doing wrong. It's missing the mark. The actual Greek word, as you know, is it's a picture of someone shooting an arrow at a target and missing the target. That's what sin is, missing the target. So when we sin, sin is anything at all that does not please God. Sin is sometimes the way that we think. Sin is sometimes words that we say in the wrong way. Sin isn't just the obvious things, what we call the big sins, that hopefully we don't do anymore. But sin can be very subtle, and that's the thing about sin. And it says here, if you regard iniquity, sin in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And God really put this on my heart today, because if we tolerate, and this is what God began to challenge me with last night, because I began to think, well, God, you know, hopefully by now I don't have a lot of sin in my life. If I do, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But God told me to just wait upon him for a while. And as I began to wait, I began to come under a new conviction of sin in my own life as a leader of the church. And they're not the obvious things that you'd think of. But as I began to listen to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit said, the trouble is, Paul, he says, you tolerate things. And you've allowed things in your own life and things around your own life that I don't tolerate. It's got very quiet in here. You allow things in your thinking and words sometimes you speak, and things that you do and things you just allow to happen because it's part of the way that you are, and you're living in the modern 21st century where we watch things and listen to things that are on the airwaves. And God was saying, but I don't. And it's time for a radical change. And the Lord reminded me, when I was filled with the Spirit, I left home when I was 18. I went with a bunch of Christians down to a sunny place called Ramsgate, where the wind always blows, and it was hardly ever warm. And I was there for 3 years, and was part of a house church down there. And what I really gained out of that time was God basically discipled me for 3 years. I got real discipleship. I mean, right between the eyes, living with a Christian family. And God really dealt with my life down there, and something of the fire of God came on me in a greater way while I was there. And I remember I would come back home to my parents. And my parents, lovely Christian parents, great family home and everything else. But when I came home, I remember coming home one Christmas. And because of the presence of God that I'd experienced in my life now, and dealing with the smaller things, the things that we regard, you know, the things that God regards as iniquities, little things, little foxes in my life. And there'd been quite a dealing in my life down there. Was when I came home, we were having Christmas and all the usual things that you have at Christmas. And I love Christmas. I hope you do too. But there was something, the TV was on. I remember the TV was on and it was on all the time. And I remember back when my parents first got a TV set, it was all very carefully monitored. It would come on for an hour and be turned off. And gradually over the years, I noticed the TV stayed on longer and longer. I mean, Mum used to watch it for longer and longer. And it wasn't that she wasn't following Jesus, but the TV would just stay on longer. And just gradually over a period of time, things that she would never used to watch, and they weren't desperately sinful programs, she would just have on anyway. And what happens is, and I remember coming back home and going into that, and I just felt Jesus was upset about it. And the Lord was speaking to me and saying, you know, you tolerate things that I don't tolerate. I don't want you to tolerate. I want a new discipline. I want a new sense of the fear of the Lord to come into your life, where my presence is there and you will not allow anything that does not meet with my standards. And as I waited there, I thought, God, I thought I was living up to the mark and everything. And God was just beginning to show just little cracks here and there and things of neglect. And the Lord said, repent. Repentance. And as I began to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and I'm not through yet, by the way. I've begun a number of things that God's beginning to speak to me about. He said, as you repent, this will increase the effectiveness of your prayer life. I just want us just to speak just for a few minutes about this, about repentance, because if we regard iniquity in our heart, don't first of all say, well, I'm okay, I've sorted my life out. Wait on God first and let him speak to you. Don't be the first to speak, but listen to the Spirit, because the Spirit may need to show you some things where there's something in your heart that you are tolerating, something that you maybe that you've neglected. There were the two things that God spoke to you about, tolerating things and neglecting things. And let's face it, fellas, if you're a husband, if you're the head of your house, then God's going to tap on your door and there's going to be a requirement over you about how you run your home, how you've treated your family, how we've run our finances. He won't come to the wife first, he'll come to the man first, because that's God's order. He will come to the wife, but he'll come secondly to her. Things concerning our families and our lives, right? And the Lord isn't here to condemn us this morning. I'm not waving my bony finger at you. What I'm saying to you is, be quick to repent this morning. If there's things that you need to know that you need to repent of, then repent of it this morning before you leave the room. Ask the Holy Spirit to invite the Holy Spirit to begin a new process today that will sharpen you in your spirit, because we've become in the church so like the world that very often the world knows no difference when they meet us, and they need to. When they come into our homes, they need to know that there's a different atmosphere in the home. They need to know there's a different atmosphere about our lives. There's a different thing that's going on in the way that we speak and the way that we handle everything that we do. Does this make sense? And I just sense God coming in and actually putting us on a sharpening stone this morning. And he's sharpening us up. He wants us to be sharp in the Spirit. And the way to do it is to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And anything he brings to your attention, deal with it quickly. And be happy about it too. Because repentance and faith is the great remedy for all of us. And God wants us to repent. That means turn to him, acknowledge the thing that's wrong, confess it before God with faith, and run to him and ask for that forgiveness and cleansing. And then carry on your journey with him. And as you do so, there'll be a change will take place. The Bible says if you regard anything of sin in your heart, if there's something there, that God can't hear your prayers. That's a scary scripture. That's one of those scary ones. It's only a few words. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Not he may hear if I pray a bit longer or a little bit more in tongues. It says he won't hear if I regard iniquity in my heart. If I'm allowing things, if I'm tolerating certain things in my Christian life that I shouldn't. How do you know what God tolerates? Well, put it this way. If you're watching a film, would you invite Jesus to come and sit down next to you and watch it with you? Right? If you're on the internet and you find yourself on a funny site, or you're looking for something and there's a temptation comes up on that screen there about, and you could actually go into something you shouldn't do, would Jesus want you to go there? If you're reading a newspaper, just an ordinary newspaper, would Jesus want you to read what you're reading? Are you with me? I mean, there's some good things in newspapers, but there's some pretty rubbishy things too. And what God wants to do, he wants to get us so that we're walking, it's called walking in the Spirit, where we're not walking in judgment of other people. That's a sin. We're not looking down our noses about other people, but we're loving the people around us because we've got enough to do in our own lives without judging anybody else, and we're dealing with our lives because we've got to fulfill his purpose while we're here on earth. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And I heard the Holy Spirit talk to me last night in a way he hasn't spoken to me for quite a long while, in that way. And he just took me back, dunk, like I took a jump back. Yesterday there was a young guy, Steve Upple, who came to speak to some of the leaders here in the church at Kingdom Faith here and over at Horsham. And he was 34 years old, young. And I remember when I was 33 years young, not many years ago. But God took me back a little bit further than that. And I could remember, and God said to me, see, there's a sharpness in your spirit, and there's some things you've let slip because you've tolerated some things. You've accepted some things. You've got into a worldly mindset over some issues. And you've got to address those things if you want my spirit to move in the way that you want me to move, the way I want to move. You've got to address those things and repent of them and call them what they are, sin. Let's not dress it up. Let's call it sin. Because you haven't taken authority over something, or you haven't stood up for something, or you haven't changed something, dealt with something. So that was the fault of Adam in the Garden of Eden. He tolerated, he neglected, and he fell. He listened to his wife, which in that particular instance was a mistake, right? And because Eve got deceived, and then Adam sinned, because he absolutely knew that it was wrong, but he went with it anyway. Well, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today, and he wants to release his spirit in our prayer lives. And I just sense God saying, you need to talk about repentance, because repentance for me and for you is key to us having repentance and faith, dealing with those things that we tolerate and things that we neglect in our lives. If we deal with those things, God will hear our prayers, and he wants to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. Are you with me? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We have seasons in our life where the Holy Spirit comes and sharpens us, where, if you like, the fire of God comes and we receive fresh fire, fresh zeal for him. And we motor in that. It's like being on the outside lane, really going for it. And then some things happen. You know, there's an accident up front. There's something happens that slows us down, and we find ourselves pulling over into the middle lane. And before we know it, we're on the inside lane now. And sometimes we can either break down and we pull in onto the lay-by. God wants us to be in the fast lane as Christians. He wants us to be walking and moving in holiness. He wants us to be moving in victory, where we're releasing his kingdom because we've dealt with the sin issues and things that we tolerate and we neglect in our lives. And listen to this, Philippians chapter 4, and it says here, let's read it, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Okay, we're to tell ourselves to do that twice a day at least. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Is anxiety a sin? Then we need to repent of being anxious. Do we all get anxious at some points? Well, I do. But it's learning what to do with the anxiety and the worry. So the Bible says, the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, this is the key, in everything, by prayer or through prayer, and supplication means a strong petition to God, a strong entreaty to God, asking God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, as you do this, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this doesn't happen overnight, I've noticed. This is a walk. This is why God says, you've got to walk with me. Walking is a step-by-step process, isn't it? We're on a journey. But God says, as you practice, as you discipline your life in living this way, learning how to roll the care over onto God, rolling the burden onto Christ, and actually giving it to him in prayer, handing it over to him, refusing to worry, using the word, saying, God, I hand this worry, this anxiety about such and such a thing to you. I roll it over to you today because you've told me that you'll take care of me and you'll take care of this thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and I thank you, Lord, that you're in charge. I hand this thing over to you. Holy Spirit, come and take control of this. Let your requests be made known to God. And it says the peace of God will come. Amen. And we need to be living in the peace of God. A lot of Christians are living in pieces, not living in peace. And God wants us to be living in the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Because that peace, the peace, the shalom peace of Christ, of the Spirit, actually guards our hearts and our minds. It's like, it literally means in the Greek, a garrison. It's like having an army around you. That when we cast the thing onto God, the worry and the anxiety, when we give it to God and hand it and refuse to take it back, God says, now I can give you my peace. What's better, peace or anxiety? And Jesus is saying, I want to fill you with my, I want to show you how in the midst of a difficult situation, you can still be walking in peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's beyond comprehension, is the peace of Christ, which will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, through your work, every day, moment by moment, you can be walking, I can be walking in his peace. And then read verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. And I tell you, if we was to do that, if we make this our the hallmark, God, make this the hallmark of our lives. Holy Spirit, come and cause me to live this way, that whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything virtuous or excellent, if there's anything praiseworthy, think about these things. Meditate on these things. Because if we're thinking about negative things, if we're thinking about the wrong things, if we're looking at the wrong things, if we're listening to the wrong things, then we're going to be affected. We're going to be infected by the wrong things. And then we have to run back to the Lord and be cleansed from it. Just living in the world, we have to do that anyway. Because you pick up things, just living in the world, don't you? You pick up unclean things kind of around you. And I don't know about you, but I regularly just have to say, Lord Jesus, just pour, cleanse me with your blood. Is that right? Because there's a lot of uncleanness around. You know, the way that the demonic realm works, the demonic realm works in the air. You know that, don't you? And Satan's called the prince of the power of the air. And that's why we need to be careful what we're listening to, because things travel through the air, words travel through the air. And sometimes those words are demonically inspired. That's why we need to be careful what we're listening to. Put a guard around what you listen to. And if you hear wrong stuff, negative thing, walk away from it. Don't entertain it. If you need to say to the person, I'm not listening to this. With respect, I don't listen to this because it's negative. It's not going to build anyone up. Okay, so we need to be quick to deal with that. Someone's got to take the step and say no. And it's the same thing with what we watch. There's nothing wrong with having TVs, but be careful what you watch because there's demonic things travel through the airwaves. And things that we allow on the screen in our homes, we would definitely not allow on our sofa. Are you with me? We definitely wouldn't allow certain things in our home that we allow on our screen. Isn't that strange? That we should allow certain things to be, well, that's the way James Bond is. He always sleeps with women. That's part of the deal. But insidiously, there's a negative, destructive spirit at work there that's sowing the wrong, even if you are happily married and the rest of it. But there's something that we kind of accept, we tolerate those kind of things. Well, that's the way it is. Everyone watches James Bond. Great adventurous story. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but there is something wrong with the other thing there. And I sense the Holy Spirit saying, if you'll just be open, the Holy Spirit saying, get back to my standards. Get back to my holy standards. And you'll find you'll run from some of the things that you accept. You'll walk away from some of the things that you currently listen to. You won't engage him in some of them conversations that is just the way that you are. You're not going to allow those things to begin to spring up because you're going to root them out of your life. Is this making sense? God's called us to be a holy people. And if we walk in holiness, the fire of God will come and the fire of God will burn through us. Burn up the wrong stuff, but burn in us the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Amen. Hallelujah. Just turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. I sense this morning God's calling for many of us to get back into that fast lane. To get back into that flow of being in the Spirit where God is on some of the what we would call the smaller things, but they're actually the more important things that of our lives. And 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, and we actually had this scripture come up yesterday, which was wonderful. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, Paul says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Is fear a sin?
Yes.
Okay, so we need to repent of when we get fearful. We need to repent of it. It's sinful. And it's destructive. God has not given us the spirit of fear, and there's a lot of that around today. But he's given us the spirit of, what does it say?
Power.
Do you want the spirit of power to be upon you? I know I do. I want to be walking in the power, the dynamite of God. And God says, well, you can't walk in that dynamite if you allow these other things that you've tolerate, that you sometimes tolerate, and that you some things that you've neglected to do, that'll hinder you because that's having sin in your heart. Does this make sense? And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power. He's given us his spirit of love, agape love. Love that's thinking about somebody else. Love that's putting others first. Love that's laying your own life down for the sake of somebody else in small ways and perhaps in larger ways. God has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So if we're fearful, if we're worrying, if we're anxious, if we have confusion in our heads, that's because the Spirit hasn't yet done a work in you. The Holy Spirit wants to do a greater work in your mind, to renew your mind, because God's Spirit gives you, releases in you the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and the Spirit of a sound mind. In fact, God wants to give you everything that he's already got. He basically wants to impart to you all that Christ has and put it in you. He's made it available to us. But what we're saying this morning, what God is saying to us this morning is if you tolerate or neglect things in your life, there's going to be a hindrance to you walking with me and having an effective prayer life. Amen? God wants to release the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind in all of us, where we're well-balanced, where we're not all over the show, but our minds are being renewed by the Spirit of God through the Word and through prayer and through walking in obedience to him. Does this sound like good news?
Yes, it does.
This is what God wants us to walk in. I just want us to respond to God. We've got plenty of time this morning. I know it's a wee bit nippy in here this morning, but I'd like us just to stand up. You might want to jump up and down 10 times and get warm. But just let's stand up. And I'm going to invite you this morning to respond to this word. Not respond to me. I want you to respond to the Lord this morning. And we're going to open our hearts to pray for a few minutes. And during this time of prayer, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, I'm sure he has. He's already been speaking to me. And you want to respond to God and say, God, yeah, there's that thing there that you showed me this morning. I repent this morning, and repentance is a great word. It's a great thing to do, because I can turn away from that this morning, and I'm going to come to you. I just want you to come out of your seat and just come down the front. And as you do so, just hand that matter over to the Lord this morning as you do this. No one's going to ask you what it's about, because that's between you and God. Just as things that I've responded to God is between me and God. But just come down the front. Just move forward. Just come forward. Because this morning we're saying, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to be free. I'm not going to tolerate negativity in my life. I'm not going to tolerate those things that insidiously the devil has tried to trip me up, has tried to make me stumble. And I've perhaps fallen into a trap here of just getting into a routine, but it's not the right one. And God is saying, I want to sharpen your prayer lives. He's been speaking to me about this. I want to sharpen your prayer life up. And it's not us trying harder or even necessarily spending more time, but it's a heart thing that God wants to change. And Holy Spirit, as we're standing in your presence this morning, Lord, your holy presence, Lord, Father, I can only pray for me, Lord. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I repent this morning, Lord, for tolerating, Lord Jesus, things that you don't tolerate, Lord. For accepting somehow, Lord, things that you don't accept, Lord. I pray you forgive me, Jesus. I pray that you forgive us and cleanse our hearts, Lord, from things that hinder you, God, from moving in the way that you want to move, Lord. Pray you wash us in your blood, Lord. Make us true disciples, Jesus, who follow you, Lord. Who are not under a law, but are under your word, Lord. And respond to you in faith and obedience, Jesus. Holy Spirit, do a new work, Lord. Do a new work in me, Lord. Do a new work in us, Father, as a church. Do a new work in each one of us, Lord. As we turn to you in repentance, Father, I ask you to forgive, Lord, and wash each one of us this morning by your blood. Come and cleanse, Lord, away habits, sinful habits, Lord, words and things that we do, Lord, no one else knows about, Lord. Wash those things away, Lord, today. Sharpen us up, we pray, Holy Spirit, to live according to your word and to remember, Lord Jesus, that you're living in us. And that, Lord, if we realize that you were here, physically here, standing next to us, Lord, there's a lot of things we would not allow. There's a lot of things we would not tolerate. There's things that we would not neglect if you were standing by our side. And yet, Lord, this morning you're reminding us that you are standing by our side in the Spirit. You are living in us. You are closer to us than that. And Holy Spirit, just forgive me, Lord, for neglecting your Spirit, your Holy Spirit who's living in me. Sharpen me, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord. Not to think about me, Lord, but to think about you, Lord. Not to have thoughts wrapped around my life, Lord, but wrapped around your life, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, wash us clean, Lord. Wash us in your blood, Lord. Cleanse my heart, Lord Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Put a right spirit in me, Lord. Even if others think it's a little bit over the top, Lord, who cares? As long as you're pleasing, as long as you're pleased, as long as it's pleasing to you, Lord. Father, lead us on a new way, the new way of following you, Lord. Lead us in that fresh way, in that new path that you have for us, the path of holiness. Lift us up, we pray today, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Lord, Jesus, Lord. The Word of God says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us by his blood from all unrighteousness. So just begin to thank him. As you're giving that particular thing or things to the Lord this morning, as you ask him to forgive you, thank him this morning that he forgives you and he cleanses you by his blood poured out at Calvary. Washing away, washing away, washing away. This morning, he's washing away by his blood, he's cleansing you. deep in your heart. It's cleansing you, making you fresh, making you new. God is doing a new work today in our hearts. Fresh, fresh, fresh work, fresh fire. Fresh fire, fresh fire. Fresh fire is coming. Fresh fire is coming. Fresh fire is coming. The fresh fire of God is beginning to come. Burn in us, Lord. New river. There's a new river. There's a new river of the Holy Spirit beginning to flow today. Just let Him flow in you and around you. He's beginning to move you. You're going to be moved this week by the Spirit. You're going to be moved in fresh ways this week. Even today, God's going to move upon you afresh. God's going to speak to you about things. He's going to show you things. The Spirit's going to come. You're going to put His Word first. You're going to put Him first above everything else. Not allow Him to take second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth place. But His Word and His presence and Him is going to take first place in everything. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just receive. Just thank Him for His forgiveness today. Just thank Him this morning. Just receive. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God's here to change us. My friends, God is here to change us for good. He's removing the rubbish. He's taking it away. And something new is going to be released, is being released in our prayers, because it's affecting our hearts. Our prayer lives are going to go up a whole notch. There's got a new release of the Spirit of grace and prayer coming upon us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit was saying to me earlier that you call me Lord. If you call me Lord, then do the things that I want you to do. Listen to the still small voice of my Spirit and my Word and obey what I say. Let me be Lord. Don't just call me Lord, let me be Lord. Let me be the Lord of glory in your hearts. Let me be the Lord of life in you. Let me be the King who reigns in your thoughts and in your attitudes. Let my Spirit come afresh. Let me overflow you. Let me be Lord in you. And see what I will do. 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 In and through you. For I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit, my spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, of wisdom, discretion. I've given you my spirit. Just lift your hands. Just if you're wherever you are, just lift your hands to the Lord. And He says, I give you my spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind today. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive afresh today. The Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here, filling you, touching you. Let Him flow all over you today. See a river flowing today. And He'll wash away even those things that are still there. God will show you those things that you need to deal with outside of just this moment. But the river will come and wash them away. Wash them away. He'll overflow you. He's given you the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Just like Jesus. He's imparting His Spirit into you today. It changes us into different people, makes us like Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord, glorious Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now just make a decision this morning on those things that you know God's been speaking to you about. Make a decision today. And just between you and Him, just say, Lord, today I make a decision that in this area or in these areas, I'm going to walk in the right way. And the Lord will enable you to do it. Make a decision this morning. I'm going to walk in a different way. I'm not going to go that same way anymore in my thinking or in my actions. I'm not going to get into those old habits. I make a decision today. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of that. I'm stepping onto higher ground today in Christ. Hallelujah. I make a decision. I'm not going to tolerate. I'm not going to neglect the things that you're saying in my life. I will obey you, Lord. I will do what you say, Lord. I will do what you want, Lord. I make that decision today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you today, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord.